Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC, and I'll be perfectly honest and tell you how we started to write the intro to this segment about the news that Pope Benedict is resigning. We Googled things that only happen every 600 years, and no hits. As you've been hearing, Pope Benedict XVI, former Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, has announced that he is stepping down at the end of this month. And yes, it is extremely rare. The last pope to resign was Gregory XII. Oh, you knew that. Who left the papacy in 1415. That's actually almost 700 years to end what was known as the Western Schism. So could this be the schism of 2013? Let's talk about why Benedict is stepping down with Andrew Davis, Rome Bureau Chief for Bloomberg, who I'm sure is having a very busy day. So, Andrew, thank you very much for giving us a few minutes. Hello from New York.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. And I've heard two words used in the reporting around this, resigning or retiring. And someone pointed out that this someone on our Facebook page pointed out that this distinction may just mean the same thing, but one maybe implies he's stepping down for more political reasons. So is there any speculation about reasons other than health for his leaving?
No, there's always a conspiracy theorist, and, you know, the Pope's butler got nailed leaking documents saying that the papacy was being threatened a few months ago, and that got a lot of headlines. No, but I think it's genuine. He's almost 86 years old, and he served under John Paul II, and he watched John Paul II decline and really lose his grip on the papacy in the final years, and it was not good for the papacy or the church, and I think that he just doesn't want to see that happen again. That's my personal take. I have nothing really concrete to base that on, but I don't think there's any other reason than that he's stepping down. I mean, he's almost 86. He's definitely been slowing down. They said at the press conference that he doesn't have any serious health issues, but he's definitely a lot frailer than he was 8 years ago.
But along those lines, I know people here today whose first reaction was not surprised at the resignation so much as surprised that more popes haven't done this before. So why have popes for almost 700 years stayed in office until they die? I'm sure, you know, many, if not most, wind up with a period of really declining health and ineffectiveness in the job.
Yeah, that issue was raised certainly on the John Paul II when he was, you know, his health was really, really failing. And the answer is, you know, the Pope is expected to serve, you know, basically a life sentence, which is something when Benedict was made Pope, he referred to it as a death sentence, jokingly. But, that had always been the conventional wisdom. Clearly, the resignation 600 years ago had to do with a schism in the church, and they were trying to repair that. Basically, it's unheard of for a Pope to step down.
Listeners, Catholics especially, what's your reaction to this news? 212-433-WNYC. Tell us what you think Pope Benedict's legacy is and what you want from the next pope or who you want the next pope to be, if you care. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, as we talk to Andrew Davis, Rome Bureau Chief for Bloomberg, on today's surprise announcement, 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. So how do we begin to view this Pope's legacy? When he first came in after the massively influential John Paul II, he was viewed as more of a conservative or consistently conservative as John Paul II had been, but maybe even more so. In his first speech in office, he referred to the dictatorship of relativism. Has his eight-year term borne out that traditionalist reputation, and has it been marked by any standout accomplishments?
It has kind of borne out that reputation. I mean, he was under John Paul II, basically the head of the institution that had formerly been the Inquisition, was basically there to enforce church doctrine, and he did it very rigidly. So we haven't seen any real surprise openings under Benedict II. I mean, the issue of women in the priesthood, homosexuals, birth control, abortion, the positions of the church haven't shifted much at all on any of those positions, even though they're under pressure to address them. His legacy, it will be a mixed one. It was a relatively brief papacy, certainly compared to John Paul II, and he did inherit the whole scandal over the pedophilia, the priests, abusive priests. And while he tried to address it, he certainly didn't address it thoroughly enough from many of his critics. He did meet with victims of abuse. He did condemn it. He did use some strong language, but institutionally, I think a lot of people feel that the church still hasn't moved firmly enough to weed out bad priests and to make sure that they're held accountable.
The website Politico may not be the first place you would think of to go for news about the Pope, but Politico has an article up now headlined Pope's Politics with Bush Obama, and it says Pope Benedict XVI broke with both President George W. Bush and President Barack Obama on several key policy issues during his time at the Vatican. He took issue with the war in Iraq, even as he praised Bush on abortion-related issues. During a 2007 Easter address, the Pope offered an assessment of the Middle East, saying that nothing positive came from the current instability in Iraq. Afghanistan, he continued, is marked by growing unrest and instability. And it says abortion questions were also a focus of a 2009 meeting between Benedict and Obama, who supports abortion rights. They met. I didn't realize Obama and Benedict had met.
It must have been on the U.S. visit because Benedict did visit the U.S. where he met with some victims of abuse, I believe in Boston. So I suspect it must have been then.
What do you think of his relevance to any of these politics in the United States, be it abortion, be it war, be it poverty?
I think that is a question for the Catholic community there. Obviously, there's the Catholic community in the U.S. is probably a bit more progressive than the policies that Benedict is imposing on the church, and there are always tensions there. He also, apart from the things you mentioned, he also spoke out for the need for a new world economic order that protected the poor rather than the banks, and he was somewhat critical on the status quo of economic policy in the world as well. But, I think there are a lot of tensions between the U.S. Catholic community and the Vatican today, partly over the issues you mentioned and certainly over the issue of the abusive priests.
Let's take a phone call. Tom in Morristown. You're on WNYC. Hi, Tom.
Hi, how are you? I just want to make a comment how this is kind of a sign of, I think, a future trend we're going to see in popes where stepping down kind of a preemptive thing before they can, I want to say a modern medicine is kind of changing the way popes can, they can kind of live well past their, the physical decline of their bodies instead of the mental decline. We see in John Paul II, he went well past, he should have resigned 10 years before. And I think he's going to set a trend for future popes to kind of step down before they fall down, you know what I mean?
Right. As modern medicine, as you say, allows people to live longer, maybe this kind of thing is going to come up more in the future. It's an interesting question. And to that point, John on our comments page writes, would be great to have a young, vital pope, but good luck, he adds. All the successors being named are over 65, some as old as 80. Is that your understanding?
They talk about an African pope, but even some of the African candidates are well up there. There are 200 and some odd cardinals, and only 100 and some odd will vote because they're the only ones who are under the age of 80. This is not a youthful bunch.
Why not? Why isn't there any younger candidate in the mix, as far as anybody assumes?
Oh, there might be some dark horse candidates, and there are some younger cardinals. But, I mean, to work yourself up into the ranks of the church and to become a cardinal takes many, many years. And then you have to be, working your way up through the church hierarchy. Then you have to be appointed to the post by the pope. It takes a while. We've had a pope who's been in office 8 years who's named, I don't know how many, a few dozen new cardinals. But as your reporter mentioned earlier, most of the cardinals were appointed by John Paul II.
Andrew
so
Davis, my guest
been
on
around a while.
Right. Andrew Davis, Rome Bureau Chief for Bloomberg, reporting on the surprise announcement from Pope Benedict today that he will resign effective the end of the month. And you used the term conspiracy theory earlier to refer to any ideas that may be floating around that he's resigning for any reasons other than his health. Well, we have three calls on our board that all have the same potential alternative theory, let's call it. So let's take one of them to represent the group, and it's Nelson in Hartsdale. Hi, Nelson. You're on the air.
Hi. Good morning. There were reports circulating that before Pope Benedict assumed the papacy, he had access to all the files on a global basis for all of the abuse in the Catholic Church, and none of it ever came to light until very recently. Is it not possible that somehow, somewhere deep in his heart, he now feels eternal embarrassment on behalf of the Church and is performing more of a political act in line with what Japanese executives do when they are at the helm of a company that has undergone a major scandal?
Thank you very much. Any indication of that whatsoever, Andrew?
I would be loath to read into the heart of the Pope, but I really don't know. Clearly, yes, he did have access to all the Church documentation on the priest's abuse, and clearly the Church wasn't as aggressive in dealing with that, nor as thorough, nor as efficient in dealing with that as the Church critics would like. And, you know, there are a lot of victims around the world, and a lot of these people were allowed to stay in their positions for a very long time, and most haven't been prosecuted or pursued, and he's aware of all the details of, the Church's dealing with that. But whether he is stepping down because he fears it's going to come out, or whether he fears guilty over it, I wouldn't venture to speculate. The guy is almost 86 years old. It is a tough job, and I think it could very well be that he's just worn out, and he doesn't want to see his papacy end the way John Paul's did, which was, in weakness and infirmity.
Will history, should history remember him as the Pope who didn't deal with the scandal forcefully enough?
I think certainly, he dealt with the scandal, but certainly not all that forcefully. I mean, John Paul II did also start to deal with it. But again, given how widespread it turned out to be and how pervasive and just how much protection some of these priests got, not necessarily from the Vatican, but on the local level, I think part of his legacy will certainly be that it wasn't dealt with effectively enough.
Or could it also be that he was the first pope to apologize out loud?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember what John Paul did, how far John Paul went. But he, Ratzinger, Benedict certainly took it further. He actually met, I think, at least two or three times with victims of abuse and prayed with them. And that was seen as a very healing moment for a lot of Catholics. But, this was a very widespread scandal, and it's been going on for years, and it's probably still going on. And whether the Vatican's put enough protection in place, particularly dealing with a local diocese, it's not so easy. They're very far away. But, there's a lot more that needs to be done.
Joe in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Joe.
Brian, how you doing? I always like to tell you have the best show in the country.
You're very kind.
Yeah, when these news are developing, people need to know to go back in history. We have to know that at the time when the Roman Catholic Church was persecuting people in Europe, it was America who gave them refuge for the pilgrims to serve God as they please. But the Pope, based on the Bible, he is the Antichrist, 666, Vicarius Filii Dei. So we need to read the book Great Controversy so we will know who what Rome really is, because their goal is to take over America. They infiltrate the government. This is why things are changing rapidly in this government. This government is not what it used to be.
Because it was infiltrated by the Pope and the Catholic Church. Well, Joe, I'm going to leave it there, and I'll just mention that he told our screener that he was going to say he thinks it's time to choose an American pope. Andrew Davis, is it time to choose an American pope?
I think that's highly, highly unlikely. I mean, clearly much of the Catholic Church money comes from America. But the future of the Church is clearly in the developing world. That's where it's growing. That's where most of the priests are coming from these days. And, I think there'll be the cardinals are going to be under a lot of pressure to reach beyond Europe or the U.S. to choose a pope. I think an American pope is really unlikely.
What about a South American pope, a Latin American pope?
I think that's probably more probable, and I think there's a lot of expectation that it could be a priest, a cardinal from Africa. But I suspect that there's a good chance this time we'll have one of the two. I mean, you know, everyone knew that this was not going to be a long papacy, that he was considered kind of an interim pope between John Paul, who had been there for three decades, and possibly a reach to the developing world. So, you know, we're here, we're at the crossroads, and this time it really could happen.
African pope?
I think there's a good chance we could have an African pope, which would be, you know, really shake up the Roman Catholic Church. I mean, but there's also, you know, there's an impression that I think people have that if you reach out into Latin America or Africa, that you're necessarily going to get a more liberal pope. That's not necessarily the case. Just because they're from the developing world doesn't mean they're any more progressive or less doctrinaire than, say, Ratzinger or Benedict or John Paul were. You know, as your reporter mentioned, Sylvia mentioned in Rome, that those two popes appointed virtually all of the cardinals who will be voting. So you can expect that they're going to choose someone who's going to be like-minded. So I think just because we reach out to the developing world for a new pope doesn't mean that doesn't necessarily signal any kind of dramatic shift in church policy.
Even on some of the women within the church roles, I mean, I wouldn't expect them to change on abortion. Maybe they would start to reconsider homosexuality, considering the change in culture around the world, but I wouldn't really expect that either necessarily. But what about the role of women within the church itself? Is this not something that's ripe for reconsideration by the next pope?
It's ripe. Whether there'll be any real reconsideration, I mean, maybe there'll be some overtures made to women, but going so far as to allowing women priests, I don't see it happening anytime soon.
By the way, structurally, how can there be two people alive who were chosen to fulfill, the particular mission? What happens if a retired pope publicly disagrees with his successor? Is that out of the question?
You know, we're in uncharted waters here. This, as you pointed out, hasn't happened in 600 years. And we're also in the modern age where, if the pope wants, he could tweet his disgust with the new pope. But, I mean, basically he said that he's going to retire to a life of contemplation and he's not going to be involved in choosing a successor or anything further to do with running the church. So the expectation is that we won't hear from him again. He's going to go off to a convent, he said. So
his last day as pope would be February 28th. Do I have that right?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then
he's going to serve till 8 p.m. He even set the resignation time.
Oh, why 8 p.m.? Why not 7:30?
I'm not quite sure.
And then by then, will the College of Cardinals have gone into their secret meeting and come up with a successor, or will that happen afterwards?
It'll happen afterwards. We're not quite sure. I was told by a Vatican official we'll likely get some more information on the timing of the conclave tomorrow. But it will likely be early to mid-March. In the past, they've taken 2 or 3 days. So, mid-March, before Easter, we should have a new pope.
And will there be smoke again? Or maybe they'll just tweet the name of the new pope this time.
Unlikely. They're not allowed to bring any devices into the Sistine Chapel with them. So it's just the white smoke that we're going to have to look for.
Robes, but no iPhones. Andrew Davis, Rome Bureau Chief for Bloomberg on this day of the surprise announcement of retirement or resignation by Pope Benedict XVI. Thank you very much for giving us this time.
Okay, take care.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC. Coming up next, we continue our Oscar series with the directors of the 5 Best Documentary nominees. Today, the 2 directors of 5 Broken Cameras. Stay with us.